Untangling the HP Web.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's clearly going to take a while to sort out what happened at Hewlett-Packard, who's responsible, whether other companies are spying on their board members or journalists. Yesterday, HP's current and former leaders went before Congress to tell their side of the story. Ex-chairwoman Patricia Dunn had this to say.
I think that the privacy of individuals needs to be protected with crystal clear laws. I also believe that companies like Hewlett-Packard need to have a place where they can go to have investigations that are necessary to protect shareholder interests accomplished within sanctioned safe harbors.
Dunn took no personal responsibility for private investigators using fake identities to get people's phone records, but Congress and others want somebody to be culpable. Yesterday, Verizon sued 20 data brokers who were hired by HP. Verizon said the brokers used fraud, trickery, and deceit to get information from the phone company. Sony wants to get this laptop battery embarrassment over and done with. It's urging companies to go ahead and recall its lithium-ion cartridges if they're concerned about them. Today, Toshiba responded, calling back another 830,000 Sony batteries. Yesterday, IBM and Lenovo asked people to return 500,000 of them. Somebody's ThinkPad caught fire at the Los Angeles airport this month. Add in the Apple and Dell recalls, and Sony has the biggest electronics recall in history, about 7 million batteries total. Asking people to return computer batteries is one thing. Telling somebody their pacemaker is faulty is quite another. In fact, the FDA thinks using the word recall in those cases might be a bad idea. Helen Palmer reports from the health desk at WGBH.
The FDA has issued recalls for over 250,000 faulty heart devices in the last 15 years. Doctors say calling these actions recalls upsets patients.
Patients were anxious about their recalled device. Couldn't sleep at night, even after counseling.
Dwight Reynolds speaks for doctors who implant these devices. He says the FDA should use the term Class 1 advisory notice or Class 1 safety alert for really serious product flaws, those that might kill or seriously harm a patient if the device malfunctioned. But Arthur Levin of the Center for Medical Consumers says it's nothing but smoke and mirrors to use a different term than recall for a device with a serious problem.
Patients should be worried about safety issues. The only way we're going to create pressure to make devices and drugs safer is because there'll be pressure from patients to have that happen.
The FDA is holding focus groups to find out just how alarmed patients are by the word recall. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
So now the Dow is within 4 points of its all-time close. Yesterday, the index surpassed the record briefly before settling back at 11,718. The record is 11,722 from January of 2000. The NASDAQ also climbed 0.25% to 2270. The S&P 500 put on 0.2% to 1339. Oil prices fell back a bit today to $62.50 a barrel. This is Marketplace. Around the country this morning, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Columbia University is expected to announce a new capital campaign, $5 billion by 2011. That would be the largest ever for U.S. higher education. Massachusetts has announced the premiums for the new health plan to cover the state's poorest residents. For individuals earning less than about $30,000 a year, coverage will cost around $300 to $400, depending on the type of plan you have and where someone lives. Below the poverty level, $10,000 a year, the state would pay for all of it. In Louisville, the Rolling Stones are playing Churchill Downs tonight, but it's not just a concert venue. Lots of very valuable racehorses are in the stables nearby. Some owners are worried about what effect the noise from the concert might have on the horses, so the Stones are forgoing the usual fireworks. The Marketplace Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By The Economist magazine, which not only tells what's happening each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Brazil holds its presidential election on Sunday. This won't be like the Mexican election this summer. Too close to call, recounts, court hearings. The outcome in Brazil is all but certain. The incumbent leads his closest rival in the polls by as much as 25%. From Rio de Janeiro, Paulo Prada explains why.
Campaigning in Brazil is in full swing. The country's sidewalks, roads, and airwaves are abuzz with banners, jingles, and other propaganda. In this rap, blaring along Rio's waterfront, the underdog Green Party promises to make the city a cleaner, safer place. But this election, like most, boils down to one thing: voters' wallets. Booming exports, a strong currency, and conservative economic policies have enabled President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva to curb inflation, post a budget surplus, and slash the foreign debt. It's also allowed him to boost the minimum wage and invest in social programs for Brazil's 70 million poor. Marcos Figueiredo is a political scientist in Rio. He says those disillusioned with Lula's policies are far outnumbered by the working class, which makes up 75% of the electorate. Babilônia is one of Rio's many favelas, or slums. It's also a Lula stronghold. Most residents rely on temporary jobs and count on Lula's Bolsa Família, a family allowance program, to get by. The program provides family members as much as $30 apiece every month to buy food, medicine, cooking gas, and other essentials. Maria Helena Pereira is the 51-year-old cook for a school in Babilônia. She lives with two unemployed adult children and five grandkids. The program helps her buy meat and produce once impossible on monthly earnings of about $130.
Graças a Deus por colocar Lula no poder.
Thank God Lula's in power, she says. Even those more critical say they continue to trust Lula. He is, after all, Brazil's first working-class president, a man who grew up hungry and poor himself. Marcelo Eduardo is an activist in Babilônia's Community Association. He says the programs are good, but the government should do more than give handouts to create jobs and spur growth. Brazil's economy this year is expected to grow by just over 3%. Slower than other South American countries like Argentina, Colombia, and Chile. But poor Brazilians, Eduardo says, still feel better than they did 4 years ago. With Lula running for a second and final term, their support is expected to be loud and clear at the ballot box. In Rio de Janeiro, this is Paulo Prada for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
What you want? The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.